Justin Bourne National Edition in 2024. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Boys,
I just, 10 day hiatus.
Just get on the bike and start pedaling again.
I just realized we went a full hour of radio and television without mentioning that Canada lost at the World Juniors in the quarterfinals. I just thought of that. Bad producer.
You know who could have seen that coming? Everyone we had on the show to talk about the World Juniors.
Boogle was like, yeah, I don't know about these guys. Anyways, thought I should probably mention that.
Is your heart broken a little bit?
Not anymore.
I didn't watch the first period, but I saw them pretty much dominate the second and third.
Yeah.
And then with, 11 seconds left, they get a horrific
bounce. Off of Oliver Bonk, who plays for London, who was also Radek Bonk's kid, who's like clearly a famous Czech, won the gold medal with the Czechs, deflects it into his own net against the Czechs, poor kid. I hate the...
Celebrated in his home country?
Like, at this point, you know, if you're above...
It's all...
If you're above the age of, 18 or 19, getting really bent out of shape about this level of hockey is really bad. Like, I was watching the game, I was like, oh, crap, they lost, turned it off. Like, I get excited when they win. I love the level of hockey, but if you're, mean to the kids,
give me a break. Out to Oliver Bonk, who's a great player.
Absolute. Unlucky. Wrist off the stick, into the net, 10 seconds left, sucks, but yeah. Just don't send mean DMs to them.
Don't say that to the bean counters who, there's big money to be made with the Canada going to a final, boys.
Well, yeah.
I heard the game was on, but I didn't want to watch. I heard it was on a different network, so I didn't
know. I love that level of hockey. So,
Sammy, all the World Junior stuff that you've watched over the past, how many bounces have gone Canada's way?
A million.
Over the years?
A million.
What, Mason McTavish pulling that one off the goal line?
And think about the most famous goal in World Junior history, maybe with Eberle. Mm-hmm. Where, it goes off a guy's thing, it lands on his stick on the backhand, he ties it. Can you believe it? Yeah, so they've gotten a lot of good breaks. Way it goes. Apparently America's juggernaut.
Outside of that, we had an outdoor game in Seattle between the Kraken and Vegas Golden Knights. Eddie Olczyk's going to join us in a few minutes.
Of course, great.
Hockey analyst for TNT, and he covered the game as well in Seattle. So we'll get a feel for that game. But the spectacle never gets old. Although we've seen it 1,000 times, it is still pretty cool to see that helicopter shot of a 80,000 seat stadium.
Yeah, and the way they lean into the local markets is so cool. Like the Seattle coming in the fishermen garb, them tossing fish over their heads.
You okay with that?
I love
it. Or is that just a ripoff of the Red Wings with the octopus?
No, that's from the market. Yeah. That's from the, what's it called? Pike Place Market?
When they walked out onto the ice, they were throwing fish back and forth between the guys, not just fish on the ice.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, it's great.
All right.
Fully entertaining. Good pace to the game. I actually really enjoyed this Winter Classic.
I saw a little bit of conjecture about, the expansion team, you get a World. It's like, oh, great. We're going to have to watch Blackhawks and Penguins again.
Also,
are they
in the league or are they not in the league?
Yeah,
if they're a team, they get to be a part of this. It's
10 out of 10. Jerseys. Unbelievable.
See, Vegas, whoever made their original jerseys, should have watched that game and just felt great shame.
Yeah.
Because those jerseys were beautiful. Seattle's
I'm
too.
I'm not a jersey guy, but I really like the Vegas one.
Looked great.
The barber pole for Seattle with the red pops out nicely. Both of those should be their primary jerseys.
Legit. Totally agree. So, that was exciting. The World Juniors, disappointing. Lots going on in the hockey world. The Leafs goaltending. Fireworks are fun. We just covered that in the last hour.
Yeah, if there's one thing our national audience wants to hear, it's how the Leafs are in trouble with goaltending. They love that.
You guys want to hear something?
It wasn't Grubauer who pitched a shutout either for
Joey
Seattle.
DeCord.
Okay, so what are we watching here now when we look at the goaltending position as a whole here?
I'm telling you, analytics people have given up on goaltending. They're like, I don't know.
What's the word I'm looking for? Maybe devalued position?
Well, it's like the running back in the NFL now. It's like, I don't know. Just put this guy in and they're all kind of the same. Maybe he'll block some. Maybe he won't.
But the difference with that analogy is the reason it's like that is because there's a million good ones.
Right.
It's not because there's
100%.
No good ones.
Because they're all kind of pretty good.
Yeah. There's kind of all the NHL goalies are kind of bad.
I see.
You know what I mean?
I think the goaltending improved so rapidly, and it kind of hits a ceiling where you can't get that much better with the shooters as good as they are now. And who can maintain that level? Like 10 guys.
Outside of Hildeby, who's 6'7".
Yeah.
And maybe Levi, who's in Buffalo, who's 5'11". They kind of all look the same now.
Yeah. Not too much difference in style.
And they're coached kind of the same.
And I will say, when you see a variation in style, like a guy like Samsonov is aggressive and pushes a lot, it's usually bad. Peter Mrazek pushes a lot aggressive. Not great. You know, everyone's kind of quiet. They block and they say, if you can hit this little spot, you can have it. And the guys go, yeah, we can.
Didn't we see that against Edmonton and the LA Kings with Connor McDavid's goal? Do you see that one? A foot off the goal line?
Well, and Willie did it last game against Columbus.
They love waiting these goalies out now.
Yeah, they get in reverse VH and they go ting.
They drop.
Yeah.
Like a stone.
The goalies need to go back to the drawing board, being like, we got to stop offering that little pocket because they can hit it.
And you mentioned Peter Mrazek, a he of a 904.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Is he available?
So the save percentage continues to drop.
League-wide, I think it's 903 now, down from 915 some 7 years ago, 6 years ago.
That's a big...
903 average.
That's a big drop.
Significant. Yeah, the shooting is just... It has evolved, to say the least.
But two examples in Canada where, hey, it still pays to have a pretty good goalie and you may have to pay for it a little bit. Demko in Vancouver, Connor Hellebuck in Winnipeg.
The problem is people don't know who to pay because how many of those guys are doing consistently? Shesterkin, Sorokin, Hellebuck, Demko.
Anyone got half a dozen.
Yeah, there's a half a dozen guys in the league. You're like, that guy can continue to do it. Other than that, it's like these guys.
And there's 25 where you just scratch your head and go, I don't know what I'm going to get.
Looking through the stats, like Aiden Hill, I guess, is the best goalie in the league right now, according to the numbers.
Hey, Canadian.
Is he?
Yeah.
Put him in net.
Let's go. We're back.
Let's go.
And he only got on a new deal? He won the Stanley Cup, and he only got, 3-3?
Is that, I think a two-year deal or something, was it?
Maybe three or four.
Oh, is it more than that? Okay, yeah.
But
yeah, but even then, team wasn't like.
He knew.
Yeah. I mean, Grubauer went and got his money in Seattle and struggled a bit. Kemper?
2 year, $9.8 million contract.
So he's making, okay.
Well, that's a lot of money he's making. I mean, but not compared to players. Yeah, he's not making Tyler Bertuzzi number.
4.9, he's the best goalie in the league, according to stats.
True.
So that's pretty good value.
I would say so.
Samsonov waived at 3.5 or 3.3. But the Leafs are looking rather smart today without overcommitting on term.
Yeah. This is the expires at the end of this year, at least.
Okay, as promised, we went out and got the best guest we could get, 2024. He couldn't join us, so let's bring in that old Chuck. Eddie, we're giving you a chance.
Hey, Barney.
What's up, pal?
How are you? Are you okay from the outdoor game? How was the temperature?
It was good. Yeah, it was, our position was up, in the actual, baseball, press box and windows were open. So it did get a little chilly. We had a little bit of wind up there, but, no complaining when it's, 43 or 44 degrees and overcast and, know that did the game from ice level when, the Leafs were at the Big House and, taking on the Red Wings when it was like -4 degrees and sleeting and slushing and whatever else it was going on. And that was the coldest, even more so, I think, than the first game in Buffalo. That game at Ann Arbor at the Big House was as cold as I've been at any event. So it was a lot of fun. And the league did another great job. And I think the game was pretty entertaining. I don't know what you guys thought as far as on TV, but I think the sight lines were unbelievable. And if it wasn't for the goalies, if it wasn't for Joey DeCord and Logan Thompson, I think we could have had ourselves a 5-3 type of game because there's some of the unbelievable chances either teams had. So it was, I think, a win-win. And it was fun to be a very small part of it on the broadcast here down here in the States.
having been around so many of them, Eddie, is the magic still there? Is it still doing it for the local fans the way it did out of the gates?
Oh, yeah. I do believe that, Borny. I think that, you know, just from hearing, you know, from the underground back in the day when this started to become a realistic possibility of having games outdoors in the National Hockey League and have them count for 2 points or in some games, 3 points, you know, there was some hesitation. And I think when you look back now, you know, we have the greatest fans in the world. I don't think there's no doubt about that. National Hockey League fans are the greatest. And when you can get 47,000 plus like you did here in Seattle yesterday, or you can get 100,000 plus at the Big House, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, and have the entertainment aspect of it and the curiosity aspect of it in a lot of these different cities that we've had. I mean, right. Boston, right? We've been to Fenway Park twice, so you knew what it was the first time. Mm-hmm. And of course, you had to go back and get another taste again because you're going into one of the iconic ballparks or stadiums in all of professional sport. It is. And even from the broadcast side, there is just something about being in the venue and seeing the, you know, the backdrop and knowing what the building is for, the stadium is for on a regular basis. And all of a sudden, the NHL invades and it just becomes a hockey wonderland. And yeah, so long-winded, 100%. It takes me back to the days of when my dad would build a rink in our backyard growing up in the suburbs of Chicago, or going out and playing outdoors, or seeing my kids go out and play at outdoor rinks, whether we were time in Winnipeg or a time back in Chicago. It is about the grassroots, and I think it is a celebration of the game. And I love being a very small part of it.
We're talking to Eddie Olczyk, hockey analyst with TNT. Does a terrific job covering the Kraken as well as the National Hockey League. Edzo, we were just having a conversation just prior to you coming on about the goaltenders and, you know, whether or not, you know, ultimately we'll ever see our era, Edzo, where we saw almost half the league spend $6-8 million on a star goaltender that they just said we cannot win without him. And right. You just mentioned Joey Decord, and no, he's not Philip Grubauer, who's making $6 million yet. Mm-hmm. Tremendous amount of success. Can he continue it? How far do you think you can see him with success? It seems that the turnaround is kind of indicative of how he's been the last little while.
Well, I would disagree from the aspect of, you know, maybe the thing I would agree is that the team has accumulated points here in the last nine. They've gone 9 straight games with points in that streak. The goaltending this year, to me, has been very good. The Kraken are not, or have been not, battling to get above, that so-called playoff line because of their goaltending. Their goaltending has given them a chance pretty much. Look, every team has rough games. Every goalie has rough games. But I think for, in particular, Philip Grubauer, Joey Decord, and Chris Drieger. I mean, how about Chris Drieger's story? He hadn't played in a National Hockey League in 19 months. And he gets the first game coming out of the Christmas break, you know, and Seattle goes into Calgary and the guy plays unbelievable. So, I mean, what a lift that is, you know, not only for the individual and Chris Drieger, but also for the team. And then Joey Decord comes in and plays really, obviously plays well against Philadelphia, where the team didn't play that great early. He gave him a chance, but the goaltending in Seattle, to me, Kipper and Borney, if they're better players, or they're guys that are expected to do what they were expected to do like they did last year, earlier, then this team would probably have another 8 or 10 points, and they would be up mm-hmm. where Vancouver and Vegas and LA are. But their better players struggled early. But as of recently, these last 9 games, their better players have been just that. And I think it's kind of gone hand in hand. So for people that maybe don't follow the Kraken on a daily basis, yeah, their goaltending has been very good here recently. But the goaltending has been very good pretty much all season long, in my opinion. But their better players have been their better players. And you guys know this. You need your best players to be at their very best each and every night. And they've done that, and they've gotten themselves back into a playoff spot. And look at, this was a team that had 100 points last year and came within one goal of going to the conference final. And they're trying to get back to where they got to last year.
And so beyond the goaltending in Seattle, we were just talking league-wide. Like, league average save percentage is down to a 903 last I checked. You know, it was 915 five, six, 7 years ago. You know, Driedger is a great example of a guy who it's like, it feels like the line between an NHL starter and backup and AHL goalie is so thin these days. To what do you chalk up the decline of goaltending statistics and the lack of clean starters?
Wow, that's a great question. I would say that the importance and the understanding is that you're going to need two. Need two guys just because of the way that the game is now, Borny, than maybe it was 10 years ago, 15 for sure. And then you want to go on. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the game is just, it just seems like there's more opportunity to create and generate offense, you know, the power play numbers, the creativity of the player. Now, a lot of teams sitting there, instead of erring on the side of defense, they're more going to say, you know what, we know we can get four or five. So you just tell your goaltender, hey, Kipper, you just go whisper in the ear and you tell Ricky Rod or Glenn Healy and go, hey, just don't give up the fifth one and we're going to win the game. You know, like that's, you know, so, you know, I can't sit here and say it's any one thing as far as I'm concerned, Borny, but you do need, I think it's proven, you do need a couple. And look at Vegas for a second here, right? Like, look at the guys that they had last year play for them. And then all of a sudden, Aiden Hill, who was what, third string, fourth? I mean, I don't even know what number he was last year, but all of a sudden he grabs the mantle and he's hoisting the Stanley Cup and signs a healthy contract and had four or five teams that were willing to throw a lot of cake at him. And for a guy that was just trying to survive and stay in the National Hockey League. So I think team styles, the way that the game is, and, you know, you got some prolific offensive players. And when they get looks, there's a pretty good chance that, you know, I mean, your Matthews and, you know, I know Ovi's off to a, you know, off to a tough start, but your Kyle Connors, your guys that maybe only need one or two chances to put the puck in the back of the net. You're starting to see more guys that all they need is, instead of needing 10 or 15 chances, a lot of these guys may only need three or four. And when they get three or four, they're going to put the puck into the back of the net. So it's great for the broadcasters because, you know, and I know, you know, I mean, in particular, just covering a lot of Seattle games. I mean, recently here, it just seems like every game is 2-1, 3-2. I know yesterday was 3-0. But as I said earlier, that game could have been 5-3. I mean, you could have had 8 or 9 goals in that game. Mm-hmm. So the chances were there. And sometimes the goaltenders cooperate and sometimes they don't. And, you know, depending on what side of the fence you look at.
Yeah, but as far as the overall goalie union, I don't think they can be too happy. And, Eddie, if you've really kind of followed what's happened in the last 15, 20 years, especially coming out of the lockout in 2004, everything has been geared towards the shooter, right? All the rules changes was to create more offense. And
okay, so
nothing's really there for the goalies.
The same things happen in football. I know there isn't goalies in football, but A, it's protect the quarterback, right? And then open up all of the offense. When you look at league-wide scoring and, you know, that type of stuff, I mean, just the rules for the defensive player, I mean, it's very, very difficult. So I think there's some similarities there, Kipper, to the heart of your question, right, is to encourage offense or to at least allow for offense. I mean, I've said this for – I don't want to say 25 years, but pretty darn close. I would always be really interested. Again, I'm going towards the offensive part. It's maybe not to what you're talking about, Kipper, as far as the goalies, but how do you guys believe that if the instead of having the first and third period in your home zone, what happens if we flip that? What happens if we went to the home zone is only in the second period and the long changes in the first and the third period? Mm-hmm. how many more chances would we have? It doesn't mean we're going to score more. But when you look at the numbers, or you look at least for when we do the games on TNT, at least the opportunity to be able to create more chances, because it is harder to make those changes sometimes. Sometimes the quick ups and stuff will catch teams, and you want to generate more opportunities. I would be really interested. I've lobbied for that for a long time, of what would that look like? And look at offenses there, and you see some of the games, and we've had some unbelievable high scoring games this year. But you wonder how much more, again, catering to the offensive part of the game, like they do in football and, baseball to a certain extent, with the pitch clock now and everything else. But I think in the game of hockey, it'd be, what would you guys think about that? And how do you think it would, maybe impact the game overall in the offensive part of the game?
I mean, I love it. I love it in particular because it's harder to change and you're tired in the third period. So you're going to have more gas guys, more mistakes, more action.
More too many men on the ice.
Yeah, more too many men for sure. More breakaways. Hey, so I really like that idea. And while we're stealing ideas for the NFL, this will be part of an article I'm writing for tomorrow, but how about some motion behind the line of scrimmage? Can we get some people starting to move a little bit, steal some NFL ideas, send some guys at puck drop? What do you think, Kip? You want to get a wide receiver going out wide before the puck drops? Hut.
I would have been all for that, right?
I love it, right?
I'd like a 10-foot run at a player.
Yeah, get a cooking a little bit before you drop it. Let's go. Let's get weird.
Eddie, in terms of some of the teams that we've seen in the first half, if we want to consider, 34, 35 games, enough for you to understand or believe that a team like the Vancouver Canucks, who ended at Christmas as a top team, can continue that?
Oh, I do. I think Rick Tocchet has done an incredible job. They've really kind of changed the dynamic and makeup of their team. I mean, they still have some injuries too. I mean, a guy like Carson Soucy, who played here in Seattle, was a free agent signing in Vancouver, and, big body. I mean, he went up and picked up Zadorov. Hirona came in last year. You got a guy that's, certainly in the top two or three for Norris Trophy on the back years there, and Quinton Hughes. But they've, they found a way, right? And they seem to be in every game. They're a straight line team. They play hard. They're obviously super, well coached. And I would be very surprised, Kipper and Borny, if the Vancouver Canucks would fall off. Now, are they going to have a dip? Yeah, a lot of teams do that over 82 games, right? And kind of been a big believer and learned this over the years, is that you're going to have those, 82 game schedule, and we're just going to round it off here. But, you're going to have 20 games where you're going to be lights out. Every team, doesn't matter what the record is. You're going to have 20 games where you're absolutely lights out, and there's going to be a pretty good chance you're going to find a way to get points in those games. And then you're going to have 20 games in the course of the season, whether it's schedule or injuries or just the fact of playing an 82 game schedule, where you feel like your legs are a baggage claim for a lot of those games. And you're gonna be on the wrong end. That's just the way that it is. I think what separates everybody else is what the hell happens with those other 40, 42 games, right? And that's what separates the teams that make it and they don't. Can you limit the damage when you go 8 or 10 game segments? And can you make sure that you at least be our 500 in those 10 game segments? If you start looking, when you start going 3 points, 4 points in those 10 games, wow. Either you've dug yourself a hole or you've put yourself in a really tough spot. So them getting off to a great start, they've put money in the bank, and the goaltending, obviously, I mean, it's been pretty damn good, to be honest with you. And you know what you're going to get in JT Miller, and I'm happy for Brock Besser, and, to be able to bounce back the way that he has. And I think I would be surprised if Vancouver is not in it come the last, 10 days, 2 weeks of the regular season.
So we'll keep in that division for my last question for you, Edzo, and just ask about the Edmonton Oilers. What are they? Like, is this team that has now won 5 in a row, are they going to be at the top of the division with the Vegas and Vancouver's maybe? Or are they really flawed here? I'm having trouble trying to make sense of what they are.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they look like they're the team that's going to win the Western Conference.
Right.
And get back to where they were a couple of years ago and be within striking distance. And like, when you have obviously Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, you're going to be in every game, right? So maybe I go back to what I said a little bit earlier, Borney Kipper, right? It's like, all right, look at, we know we could get five or six, so don't give up five, whatever you do, whoever's playing goal. So, and then that's the mindset. I mean, that's just the reality of it. And can they, you know, can they defend enough? You know, I've been a big fan of Evan Bouchard, and I became a bigger fan of him after Duncan Keith spent that time with Bouchard in Edmonton, and then talking to Duncan Keith about Evan Bouchard. And look at, like, every player has blemishes, right? Like, there is no perfect player in a National Hockey League. I mean, there are some guys that are really close. I will admit that. But a guy like Evan Bouchard, look at, yeah, is he going to miss some assignments defensively? Absolutely. Is he going to give you, you know, the right reads on plays defensively coming out of the corner or on the off the rush? No, not all the time. But boy, oh boy, I mean, I watch him some nights there, and obviously, you know, we know Paul Coffey is back there working with the D-men. I think the guy, like, it, and I think it's there, again, just finding that consistency of knowing when to go ahead and the green light is there and to think offense. And other times, it's okay to live the fight another day and not be right in the middle of anything offensively, and sometimes just go out there and not be noticed. So the question I have is, can they defend enough, and do they have enough defenders and having that consistency on the back end? And then obviously the goaltending, like, do, you know, will it be good enough? But then I go back to what I said earlier, and I've repeated this now three times, but look, if they give up four or five, the guys that they have up front, they can get five or six, and they should be in every game, just because those guys are breathing different air than the majority of the National Hockey League. So I still have questions, but I think I'd probably be, I would say they're probably dealing from, you know, probably more strength with the way that the game is and what they're able to do than anything else.
One more for me, Edzo, and we'll let you go, I promise. And you, prior to you going to Seattle, you did a heck of a job covering the Chicago Blackhawks. With the play of Connor Bedard this past season, is there any part of you that would think that the Chicago Blackhawks would take a run at signing some prominent free agents if, in fact, Willie Nylander's still around, or in another year they would entice Pettersson to wait in Vancouver and they would speed up the process of surrounding this guy with some talent?
Oh, I mean, look at, I mean, just knowing the, you know, the people involved there, and obviously Danny Wirtz taking over for his dad, the late Rocky Wirtz, and knowing Kyle Davidson and Norman McIver, kind of the head of the hockey operations department there in Chicago, is that, you know, they've got a plan and they know exactly where they are and where they're, you know, and where they're trying to get to. So look at it, it is about talent. The league, teams that win have stars, and they have a star and a half there in Connor Bedard. But you're right. I mean, the need to surround him, you know, with the right type of players. I know I caught a lot of heat before the season started, but I thought the best free agent signing that there was in the entire National Hockey League this year was the signing of Nick Foligno when he went to Chicago. Better than Hall, better than Perry. I thought that that was the most cagiest, the smartest free agent signing that there was in a National Hockey League, because a guy like Nick Foligno has no agendas. He plays one way, and whether he plays 8 or 80 minutes a night, he's going to give you everything he has, and he knows what his strengths are. And a guy like Connor Bedard will learn, and I'm sure has learned, so much from being around a guy like Nick Foligno, not only on the ice, guys, but also off the ice. And it is about production. It is about having star players, but the ability to have a guy like Nick Foligno there will be long lasting for the Chicago Blackhawks. And then more in particular for a guy like Connor Bedard. And then when they do bring in better players and obviously draft players and hope that they're on, you know, breathing that same type of air. Look, that's rare air a guy like Connor Bedard breathes. But when you do bring in the right players, they can't be self-led agenda type of players. Like, that's just the way that it is. And I believe that, yeah, why wouldn't they, right? They're going to have space. They know they need to surround a guy like Connor Bedard with a, you know, a premier center iceman. Now, whether that's from within and you develop, or you trade for a guy, or, you know, you have assets, or you go ahead and sign somebody. So I would be surprised if they don't take runs at people. But again, I'm not really sure, and I'm not there on a daily basis. But, you know, Nick Foligno's the type of guy that I think makes an impact on Connor Bedard, is a guy like Marty Lapointe did when he was in Chicago on Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith. Like, those are the type of guys that you need with your franchise and can make a long-lasting impact on those guys. And I thought that was just an unbelievable signing. And I know there were a boatload of teams that wanted Nick Foligno. And, yeah, did they overpay him? Yeah, they probably did. But you know what? They had the money, and they needed to, because they knew exactly what they needed to surround a guy like Connor Bedard did. And Nick Foligno's had himself one heck of a season under Luke Richardson.
Edzo, great stuff as always, man. Happy New Year. Thanks for doing this.
Happy New Year.
Thanks,
Love
Edzo.
You guys. See
Appreciate
Thanks
it,
for
bud.
Having me. See you.
Great stuff as always, eh?
Yeah, Edzo? Man. Yeah, really thoughtful stuff.
Is there a higher approval rating guy than Nick Foligno?
Yeah, who doesn't love him?
Everyone loves him. We interviewed him in the summer, and he came on with me and Gunner. I was like, I love that guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, he's
Such
everyone who talks
that
to him loves him.
Didn't work here because of injury.
It was, yeah.
His injury, and he would have been perfect.
Just
in
yeah.
theory.
Try
right.
him again.
He had a bad back.
Try him again.
The problem is he signed for $4 million.
Yeah, too much dollars. Money. Too much money.
You know, even at retaining, it's two.
How many years did he get?
Just 1 year,
just
four
one.
Mil.
Yeah.
That
him
would be,
and Perry were like, take a big paycheck to go
could you see
mentor.
Could you see them moving him at the trade deadline?
I think that was probably part of the original thing, was like, by the time the deadline is, I think it's March 3rd, you know, he's only owed X, so you retain half. You
it all depends on where you think he fits, right? It's got to be a fit guy.
Yeah, well, he's having a pretty good year, to Edzo's point.
How many minutes is he playing?
That's a great point.
Right? And then on a contending team, can he get the same minutes? Does he expect to get the same minutes?
All right.
He plays a lot.
Nick Foligno has 8 goals, 9 assists, 17 points. He plays a lot. He's played a total of 18 minutes this year per game. 17.52.
Would he fit? Where would he fit?
Last three games, he's played 21, 46, 22.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. Could he play third line center on your playoff team?
His back feels good.
Back's doing better.
Yep, back is feeling better. we'll do game time on the other side of the break. Set a break here.
Okay.
Yep.
Hold on. Quick thought of Edso's point about goaltending save percentages going down.
Yeah.
I thought tandems was a really smart point. That, you know, the best goalies used to play all the time, and they don't anymore. Now you willingly hand the ball to a guy you don't think is as good a lot.
But they didn't get there on their own. They got there because they screwed up their salary cap, and that's
who
teams in general.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, I think it's evolved that way because they felt that that's where you can kind of
save money.
Yeah, you can skim off of and least affect your team.
Yeah, no, hey, listen, everyone's looking for an angle.
At the end of the day, if you have the puck in the offensive zone, then it doesn't matter who you have back there. And that's the philosophy, is less is more. And
that's the philosophy that's worked for no one so far.
Make the saves you're supposed to make.
Yeah.
The days of the standing on your head and being the first star most nights is over.
Sergei Bobrovsky, 2 bad years, and then he's the best guy on earth.
He's hanging on.
Yeah.
He's hanging on.
The contract is not looking terrible.
It's looking less terrible. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, the odds are still against him.
For sure.
This deep into that contract.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Okay. As Sammy mentioned, game break after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne. Plenty more to get into. NHL news and notes, including a major announcement out of Ottawa, Steve Staios. But before that,
he hired himself.
Game notes.
Game time. Game time. Let it rip. Where's my sheet? It's been a while since I should have this memorized.
On seven.
A long lineup today. Long lineup.
Yeah,
too many pages. All right. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. The first thing I wanted to do was to check in on the future market. to see the
Dow Jones favorites.
No.
You think Sammy's got money in the Dow Jones? Didn't mean to laugh at that, by the way.
No, no, it's fair. Listen. 100% able to laugh.
I bet you got about $1.40 worth of change in your pocket.
I got nothing in my pocket. I got a Wonder Bar wrapper in my
pocket.
There
you go.
No, for the future, for the trophies. So, like, for the Calder, Bedard's still a massive favorite, minus 450. The closest to him is Brock Faber at plus 1,200. Luke Hughes, plus 1,600. Fantilli is 20 to 1.
I like that Fantilli.
I do, too. Actually, that's one thing we didn't get to talk about. You guys talked about it on air, but I just loved the whole Benoit situation. Where he got in his grill.
Yeah.
And then went and fought the toughest guy on the team right away.
Like, don't talk to him. He's like, okay, fight me. Fight. And he's like, I guess.
And he tried to give him the BXA, the Superman punch to start. Really loved that Benoit moment there. So, yeah, the 20 to 1 for him.
He wasn't trying to check on his phone, was he, or anything?
What's that?
Oh. Oh, boy.
Is this a Columbus joke?
There's a dead heat in the Hart Trophy race between Connor McDavid at plus 325 and Nikita Kucherov, who's having an unbelievable season.
Yeah, imagine picking Kucherov in that situation. You'd have to be out of your tree.
Okay.
McKinnon creeping up there at plus 425. You see that clip of him trucking the guy on
and then talking,
standing over him? Like,
McKinnon
oh
is owed a lifetime achievement heart, by
the way. When do we get to decide whether or not Tampa Bay is a good team or not?
They're not. They just got good players. So they have good top players.
When do we...
let me rephrase that. I love that answer. Yeah, I think you're right.
Rephrase that. When do we decide whether or not Tampa Bay is a dangerous team or not?
Well, to me, they're in the same class as two Canadian teams, maybe three if you want to put Vancouver, but Toronto and Edmonton, where they also have very good players and also have significant question marks in other places where it's like, if they got good goaltending for
a month,
they could kill you.
Isn't in net.
They have Vasilevsky, right? I've heard of him. Yeah, that does separate them a little bit, doesn't it?
You mean Vasilevsky, the number one reason the Leafs got past the first round last year?
Yeah, he wasn't great in that series.
Where's the belief that this guy is still the man?
He's still the man.
Is he?
It's Andrei Vasilevsky.
Hasn't played that great. Or at least the consistency has not been there past.
I get it.
Jack Adams, Rick Tocchet, prohibitive favorite, 2-1 now. The Norris is between Hughes and McCarr as usual. Evan Bouchard is the third favorite at plus 1,400, which is crazy. And Matthews is a minus 110 for the Rocket. So there you go. There's a future market. Demko is a favorite with Hellebuck right behind him.
Matthews minus or plus 110?
Minus 110.
Who's a bigger surprise, Vancouver or Winnipeg?
Vancouver. For sure.
Really? Winnipeg to me has always been...
No, Winnipeg to me is a bigger surprise because this team was supposed to implode.
It's a good question. Let me wrap up game time and then we'll get it to it after that. The last one I had was the 2014 parlay, which I like to call the Sid and Ovi both to score a goal tonight, is plus 525. And a goal for Trevor Moore against the Leafs. Plus 190.
Yeah, yeah.
Seven?
Pardon?
Is that seven goals now?
No,
Ovi?
Yeah, I think it's seven. Seven or eight. So, that was game
time. Dead last? Good tournament, though.
Is he going to get to 30?
No. He's not going to get to 45. What was your number this earlier? 26 and a half?
There's got to be a stretch here where Ovi kind of gets it going a little bit.
And it starts tonight. On Game Time. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Winnipeg Jets, 7-1-2 in their last 10.
So why are you so fast to dismiss that Vancouver's just a bigger story or bigger surprise?
Well, I think Vancouver was pretty bad last year, right?
Yeah,
they were supposed to trade... JT Miller at one point,
Horvat
was traded. It was all like they were unraveling.
Everybody was supposed to leave Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Scheifele was supposed to be gone. Connor Hellebuck had permission to go talk to New Jersey.
Yeah. But they didn't want to pay him in New Jersey. What are you doing?
Where would they be right now?
What are you doing?
New Jersey would be by far the best team in the league.
Doing the NHL winning percentage, league sorted by winning percentages: Rangers, Boston, Winnipeg. 1, 2, 3. Winnipeg, third overall.
But to me, they made the playoffs last year. There's been I wouldn't go as far as to say tradition. That's a little strong, but there's been a pedigree of winning there. Mm-hmm. They've always been like a plucky team, a decent team. They've always been in the fight. To me, Vancouver was bad.
But Winnipeg had to make Dubois deal,
which was like Chevy killed it, knocked it out of the park.
You lose Wheeler and Dubois, it's tough to say we're going to be a lot better. And Velarde, Iafallo, Kapari hasn't played much, but they've been very good.
When do we give Rick Bowness even more credit for calling that room out like he did, and the recovery time to get them back on board and being a solid hockey club? Like, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, you lose Wheeler. I mean, obviously Dubois. You lost guys who weren't pulling in the same direction as everyone else.
I think they're...
Line A once upon a time was there.
I think you could maybe draw a line between the two guys that left and the stuff that Bonus said.
Sure.
You know? Like, I think Wheeler had that conversation with Christine Simpson about how he was perceived. I think P.L. Dubois has gone to...
He didn't
to,
like it. He felt like they blamed him for
But, I mean, when you're saying that stuff, probably means... there was a little truth to that?
A little bit too much power, I think, for Wheeler, that's all. And maybe he'll admit it somewhere down the road that, there's a few situations they could have handled differently without getting into real specifics.
Sure.
But,
either way, both great stories. Yeah, they're
phenomenal stories.
Plus 30 goal differential, Canucks plus 43. Humming.
Did you want to mention the Cole Perfetti thing with Hartman? Here.
Love this. So, who hit Kaprizov?
Brendan Dillon gave Kaprizov a cross check in the hip.
Right.
Hurt him.
That being Minnesota's best player.
And he's out, I think, a week, maybe two. And Ryan Hartman told a mic'd up Cole Perfetti that he was going to high stick. We have the clip of Perfetti talking.
Okay.
If you, Dutchie, if you want to get that clip ready, it's a really funny clip. If you want to play it for us here now.
To follow on that, Colt, did he make it pretty clear that he was doing that as retribution for what had happened the day before?
Yeah, he did. He made it pretty obvious, you know. He did it he said it in kind of a respectful way. Like, I mean, he said, no disrespect, nothing against you, just, you know, had to happen. Something had to happen against, you know, what happened to Kaprizov there. I mean, he's obviously going to be out for a little bit, and, you know, I don't think Dilly was trying to hurt him. I think he's just playing heavy, and that's just, you know, that play happens. Like, you know, he wasn't, I don't think, trying to be a bad guy. I think he was just, you know, that's what he thought he needed to do to get back at us.
You were mic'd up too, right?
I was, yes. So we caught it all.
I was going to say, if this went to a court, you got the smoking
gun.
Yeah,
he wouldn't be doing, they wouldn't have much. I was mic'd up, so I don't know if he realized that or not. I mean, they're supposed to be notified, but to come out and blatantly say it to the mic, it worked out in our favor.
He actually said to him, like, I'm going to high stick you in the face.
Do you see the video of it?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God, he just bashes him straight in the mouth.
And he got fined.
I gotta tell you, love it.
Hartman's a dirty guy, and I love it.
You know who else loves it?
Who was that?
The league.
Why is that?
Well, they only fined him.
Yeah, you're right. But they can't use the audio.
Yeah.
So part of the, in order to get players to agree to be mic'd up, the agreement is that nothing you do or say will be used against you in a court of law.
Can I just remind you, this is the NHL. They can do and say whatever the hell they want.
Yes, you're right. They could have been like, we didn't use
the audio.
Yeah.
No, they used the audio.
It's like in a court case when they're like, strike that from the record. It's like, but the jury heard it. Yeah.
They loved it.
Yeah.
Good.
But you
good.
Know,
maybe more guys will have second thoughts about, listen, they love players policing themselves still.
Right.
They do. And then there's a line, and when
Ryan
you
Hartman's
cross
a
it,
player.
They step in.
Yeah.
But until then, this stuff has been going on forever.
So I am a little, it's a curious choice to choose Cole Perfetti to me, is it not?
Well, he's I guess he's like a good young player.
It's not Mark Scheifele or Kyle Connor or Velarde we got the video here. Oh!
Yeah, he just hit him in the mouth.
Yeah, he sure did.
Hit him in the mouth.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good choice.
By Hartman.
Yeah, it's like.
I know people are going to hate us for that. I totally agree.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's like.
Don't hit our best player. And let everyone on your bench know why that happened.
Go after a young guy, vulnerable, because then it forces their team
what a
to go.
Show.
You can't,
be supporting
you can't
this.
Go after, like, you know, our young chickadees here.
Yeah.
Right? We got to do something. There's more of a reaction than a veteran I think.
It is.
Or is equal.
Is
equal.
But I think you have to clarify, if you're Hartman, to Perfetti, here's why this has happened. Otherwise, it just looks like a really egregious act.
The part I
go tell your friends.
The part I don't like is how polite he was.
Hartman?
Yeah, very respectful.
Oh, I like it.
No,
I
like, no, I don't want respect
either. It's transactional. It's transactional.
I don't want respect.
Just, you know, I'm going to take two of your teeth.
Yes.
What did he say? What do you think? Excuse me, sir. I'm going to cross-check you in the mouth.
Yeah, just so you know.
You're done. Yeah. You're done because of him.
No, I like the
niceties. And then you turn
like
around and then you go back. Like, there was a couple occasions where I had to go to Peter Bondra in Washington, me and Alan May, and go, hey, listen, take it easy there a little bit.
Yeah, okay? I'm tired of fighting on your behalf.
I got a bad shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, don't drag me into another one. Let's get off this road trip.
It would be fun to have a couple of guys fighting for you. I'd be running my mouth too.
Yeah.
What'd you have to say? Kip.
Oh, God. All right. Steve Saios has appointed himself.
Good hire.
General manager. Full time.
Is it not a little funny? Like, just a little bit funny that they hired Jacques Martin to be their coaching consultant, then he hired Jacques Martin, and then Steve Saios, who's conducting the GM search, found Steve Saios. It's a little funny.
Like, it is funny.
I mean, they're both good, credible hires, and in no way am I saying they're not qualified or whatever. They're great hires. But it's a little funny to be like, you know who would be great at that job? Me.
I don't understand why he wants it.
What do you mean?
You're the president.
32 GMs. Yeah, now he has a shield for his president job. If he needs to get fired, he can fire himself from that one.
No, I think he's at a point where he can get himself fired.
That's a package deal, you think?
Right? Like if you stink as a GM, why do I want you president of hockey ops?
Yeah, he might not have thought this through. might have lumped himself in.
I think that's the ultimate job, the president of hockey ops.
And new.
Now you brought in Dave Poulin, who's, you know, been around the block, yeah. And you can sit up top and even mentor mm-hmm. a general manager.
But this right? is new, Kip, where you talk about the president as like the job. You know, it wasn't until very recently where the GM was kind of the guy who ran the show, and the president was like the business guy
yeah.
who took care of ticket sales and all that stuff. Now it's like, you know, you have Gorton in Montreal and Rutherford in Vancouver and these
Nick
guys
Fee yeah in Vegas,
right, who kind of feel like the GM is, you know, to say a puppet, but at least the president has say in the hockey side a lot more than I
Brendan,
used to feel like they did.
Brendan Shanahan in Toronto?
I'm not saying, just saying.
They could also push in Ryan Bonus if they need to. You got to think that they are somewhat grooming him to slide in there eventually, maybe.
I don't know. Should you not just give him the job then if you think he's going to eventually
appointed
do it?
Him the team's associate general manager.
I've always wondered what was higher, associate or assistant. Guess that's the answer.
Associate
huh?
sounds way better on a business card.
Does it? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. I agree.
So, I mean, Ottawa's starting to hum a little bit. It would be nice
to... Yeah, they won one in a row.
Too late?
Don't let them get
too
hot.
Too late for you guys? Can they pull a Edmonton Oiler and win five in a row again?
No. Although Pinto's coming back, too. Pinto's coming back. They could... I just feel like this team at 14 and 18 is so much more to give. I'd like to at least see the real Ottawa... I am curious what happens come the deadline. Who goes? Like, are they trade Tarasenko? They're not going to make the playoffs this year, so.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
They're in.
Just asking.
300th in the Atlantic.
All right, how do we do for our first show back in 10 days?
I mean, we left a lot on the table. We have like 8 topics we didn't get to. So I don't know how the show was, but we got more to give.
All right, our thanks to Eddie Olchuk, hockey analyst with TNT. We are back again tomorrow. How many games tonight?
I can 13 matches.
Pick one you like, and we're back tomorrow.
Pick the Leafs game. We're on it.
Yes. Enjoy your night, everybody. Back tomorrow again with Real Kipper Inborn.